Welcome to Local Music Somewhere, where your voice is always heard. On our Beats radio and media streaming service for today's hot and trending topics. Now let's get into it.
Hey there, welcome to rbeats.com with Local Music Somewhere with your host, Greasy Keys. Today I'm here with fantastic singer-songwriter Alonzo Wesley, a.k.a. Jeremy Davis. How's it going, Jeremy? Welcome to the studio.
Doing good. Thank you for having me.
Fantastic. Well, we're so glad you're going to be here to talk about yourself and your music and your background and perform some tunes for us at the end of this segment. So first off, you know, tell us about Alonzo Wesley. Like, where did the name come from?
So, my name's Jeremy. We were talking about this off air. So I was like, let's talk about this on the podcast.
You know it.
My name's Jeremy, but yeah, my moniker is Alonzo Wesley. That was my dad's name. So he passed away when I was a kid. He was a drummer.
Yeah.
And I think one of his dreams was to, you know, be in bands and stuff. And so when I was starting to have a band, starting to perform, I was like, that's kind of a perfect band name, because it's also spelled a little differently. Like, it's E-L-O-N-Z-O.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people spell it A-L-O-N-S-O. So it's... it's kind of like a little Beatles twist on it, at least in my mind. So
awesome.
I think that's kind of fun.
Cool. I love that.
Yeah.
So yeah, you've been one of the most consistent singer songwriters, musician performers in Charlotte that I've known for the past at least 10 years. It seems like you started out as just Alonzo. I remember back in the day, you had a trio that you played with, and then you sort of changed it up a little bit. Changed your format, kind of going from a rock band to more of a folk artist, I would say, and then performing not only as a solo artist as Alonzo Wesley, but then, you know, duo and even a great combo that you kind of put together. So tell us a little bit about that, you know, starting out as Alonzo and where you were into, you know, currently.
Originally it was just Alonzo. That was my first band. And that was, I mean, kind of going along with it being named after my dad.
Yeah.
My sister is a keyboardist, so she was in the band, and her husband, Dan, originally.
Awesome. Okay.
So that was kind of, it was a family thing. And then that, you know, we kind of didn't, when we started, I didn't know anything about being a musician really, other than playing guitar and writing songs. So we did that, and then I realized like, you know, some bands aren't going to like, kind of take it to the professional realm, if you will.
Right.
And that was a point where I changed it. I wanted to change the format of the music, because I learned a lot. And like that, the original band was more of an indie rock sound,
yes,
which I loved, but I kind of wanted to do more of a singer songwriter thing. And, but I didn't want to lose the family thing with the name and everything. So my dad's name was Alonzo Wesley. His middle name is Wesley. So
I see.
Just added on the Wesley. But yeah, Alonzo Wesley's been more intentionally like folk, and when it's a band, it's a string band format. So we've had mando, fiddle. Now I have a steel player playing, which is really
is
fun.
Is that David?
Yep.
David Finch.
Dave Finch, yep.
He's fantastic.
Yeah,
he's really
we've
come
done,
a long way on the pedal steel particularly.
Yeah, yeah. I met him a few years ago. When he was playing somewhere, and yeah, he's a super cool guy. Like, that's the thing about being in bands is like, I'm already like a little bit going on a tangent, but just hanging out with people that are fun to hang out with.
Absolutely.
Like, you're a super, I've hung out with you at shows and stuff, and it's just like you know, when you meet cool people, or meeting cool people is one of the biggest benefits, I think. So
100%.
Dave's definitely one of those guys where we immediately were like friends. And he's a super amazing musician. Like, I realized right away, like, oh, I'm going to learn some stuff from him, just the same way with you. So,
right. Well, thank you.
So, yeah.
So, obviously, with your father as an influence there, and I love how you tied that in and kind of kept that, you know, that flow for your family name. But who are some of your other influences musically and your inspirations?
I think, like, my initial kind of guitar person was Bob Dylan.
Amazing.
Just my mom, a lot of my musical taste came directly from my mom, just kind of being like, this is the stuff that, like, when I got old enough to kind of be interested in music and I started like kind of trying to find it myself, she was like, okay, well, check this out. And so when I first heard, like, I had heard Bob Dylan on the radio or whatever, but she gave me like an album, and I was like, she's like, listen to this. And then just blew my mind immediately. And it was right when I was starting to play guitar. So it was literally just like at the same, like within like a week span, you know? So that was a big initial inspiration, and just thinking of like hearing his music in a way that's like, when you hear pop music, sometimes you bob your head and it's like, mm-hmm, fun, but it doesn't have always like the same like tonality, or like people say vibe a lot.
Yeah, so
like,
sure,
the absolutely. Vibe is different, right? It's still different. Entertaining, but there's like, you're like, what's happening here? And then it kind of made me be interested more in songwriters, and sort of that element of like, who's the person that's making this song, not just the sound of the music, but the writing of it.
The writing of the song, right.
So definitely, so Dylan, and then Paul Simon was big. Some of his solo albums. I mean, my mom was really into Simon and Garfunkel, sure. So I went from there to Paul Simon, and like Still Crazy After All These Years, one of my favorite songs of all time.
You just gave me chills, because yeah, that's the one, the one record that comes to mind for me as well. It's just so fantastic.
Yeah. Willie Nelson too, like I kind of forget about him sometimes, but it was, you know, back then growing up, like I think we were like roughly the same age.
Mm-hmm.
There was no streaming music, so like whatever music happened to be like laying around on a physical format, like a cassette tape or a record, that's what you listen to, unless you listen to the radio, which I did. But then when I started wanting to find things and being inspired by things, it was what was laying around, and there was a Willie Nelson cassette that was, I don't remember what the actual record was. It was like a greatest hits.
Probably
type thing.
Greatest hits.
It wasn't like Redheaded Stranger or whatever, no. But that stuff blew my mind too. Oh, yeah. And it made me more interested in, because I was already kind of picking up on like singer songwriters, and there was just like this connection to the like authenticness of it, the authenticality. Is that a word?
Yeah, we'll take it.
The authenticity. Thank you. Wow. That was tough. But yeah, just the way he played guitar and the sort of rawness of it was really super inspiring. And then also just as a songwriter, he's like written some of the most amazing songs that exist. You know?
So I want to go back to the Bob Dylan record. So he is obviously one of the most proficient songwriters of our era.
Yeah.
What record was it though? Do you remember which exact?
I think that was also a greatest hits. Cause yeah, right. I remember specifically, like we went to a place that was like a record store, but we bought CDs, but she was getting, my mom had just, this one day she bought like a bunch of stuff at the same time, and she got the greatest hits, and it starts with like a Rolling Stone. And
yeah,
it's the one with, it's like a silhouette photo of him where he's like on stage. It's like a picture you've probably seen like 1,000 times.
Right.
So it was one of those, but I mean, I have other favorite ones after that, but that was the one. It just had, you know, I mean, the first thing is like a Rolling Stone, and I had never really listened to that. And so she was like, okay, no, really, like, sit down and listen to this. And then she hit play, and it's just like, I had never really experienced music that way.
I love that. That's a great story.
Yeah.
So with your transition to, like, indie rock to folk, I mean, what is it about folk music that resonates with you, like, that really connects and makes you want to continue that that legacy, really?
Yeah. I mean, I think the authenticity of it, or just like, desire to be authentic. I don't know that I always get there, but like, because there's a whole conversation around recording technology and how records are made and stuff like that.
Oh, absolutely.
But I think a lot of the music that I was inspired by was just kind of leaning that way. And then when I got into a band, you know, you're like, we just sort of went into more of the rock sound just naturally playing together. But I wanted to, there's a certain point where I was like, I feel like some of the songs I'm writing are supposed to be more, the music wasn't always matching the vibe that I was hearing when I was writing it.
Right. Right.
But that's also just the way that a band will interpret a song too. You know what I mean?
Always. You got those other personalities kind of interject into the song. Yeah. That's what makes the song unique.
I think, but that was always something, that was definitely something I wanted to do more intentionally, because I just think that was kind of always my thought. But it's just, as I got more experience, I was able to be more intentional, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's amazing. It's been really cool because, again, you've been one of the most consistent musicians in the Charlotte music scene for the past 10 years.
Thanks, man.
And you're busy.
Yeah.
It seems like you're really consistently busy, whether you're playing solo or, again, with duo or whatever kind of combo you can put together. Have you seen with, like, seems to be a big surge, maybe not with the mainstream, but with a large, you know, a big swath of the music with, like, you know, Billy Strings or Sierra Farrell, like, kind of coming up with the folk / bluegrass. Have you seen any of that sort of sprinkle down to you, trickle down to, like, our level of folk music
and
audience, you know, interaction and attendance?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
There are definitely people that, especially when you have a string band.
Yeah.
So we live in, like, you know, the birthplace of bluegrass, sort of.
Yeah.
And just, like, in this region. And
yes.
It's, I would say that, like, especially when I'm in the string band format, it's, like, bluegrass adjacent. It's not,
you're right,
bluegrass.
Exactly.
We're
right.
Not playing, you know, Bill Monroe tunes.
No.
But it's similar, and I think that definitely spills over, and there's a big... I think there's people that are really interested in just that kind of music for different reasons.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, it's just like one of the coolest sounds. Like, I remember seeing, like, Dave Rawlings' Machine.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Similar in that, like, they're not bluegrass, but they're playing as a string band, and just something about that energy that is unique.
Yeah.
But
speaking on that band, were you at the Neighborhood Theater show when they came a few years back? With John Paul Jones on mandolin?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
No, my God.
That was amazing.
I saw Dave and Gillian play just, yes, like, as a duo.
Yeah.
But, man.
Man, just that alone is amazing. But, yeah, a few years back, Neighborhood Theater, they had Dave Rawls' Machine with John Paul Jones on mandolin all night long.
I've seen some videos of them doing Going to California.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Very cool.
But no, I think there's definitely been a resurgence of that, and just, it's always there, but it's more mainstream popular for whatever reason right now.
Yeah, right.
But I think people just, I mean, there's something that's different about that versus, like, when you watch, like, a pop musician, like, even, like, Taylor Swift.
Yes.
Who, when they're performing, it's like this, you're not always like, I know she has a band, and I'm actually a Taylor Swift fan, so, like, I'm not saying anything negative. It's
right?
Just the vibe of the live element of it is different than seeing a string band play with acoustic instruments. Even if they're plugged in, it's still just not, it's like a different way of performing, I think. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. Love it. So I was going to say, how do you balance, like, those elements, those traditional folk elements, with your unique style and your voice? Like, what's your approach that way?
I mean, I think that it's actually a little bit in flux right now because, you know, before COVID, it was very much like the band scenario for me, at least, was a little different than it is now. But also, like, I had things in my mind that I want to try, like playing with a percussionist, which we've been doing some, playing with pedal steel, which we talked about. So that's just like in a little bit of a growth phase of, like, let's figure out, like, how this music sounds as a group of people, and then especially moving it to recording, which is, I'm working on right now.
Oh, right.
We just released a song that has those elements on it, but that was mostly done by me in the studio, so we haven't really gone with this format into the studio yet. So
with drums, you're saying, or percussion, is it
mostly hand percussion?
Interesting. Who's playing that for you?
My brother-in-law Dan is back.
Fantastic.
In. Yeah. And then there's one song that there's some stuff that I recorded during, during quarantine that never came out that I'm still kind of thinking about putting out. And that has just like some of that has a drum kit on it.
So, love that.
Yeah.
So, what role does, like, storytelling or role playing take in your music, like when you're songwriting? I mean, do you mainly write songs from your own perspective? Do you like to try to use other people's perspectives? Do you like to tell stories? What's your approach when it comes to songwriting like that?
I do kind of a little bit of all of it, I would say. Yeah. Like, there's one song that we have called Regular Guy, and that's definitely like a character. Like, I'm I'm not talking in the first person, like I'm being somebody else in the song. And I'm kind of like imagining them as being like this. I'm kind of making fun of them in the song, but I'm taking on their persona. And then there's other songs where I'm taking part of my life experience and usually like kind of embellishing some of the details to hopefully tell a better story or tell an engaging story. But where it still has like the truth to it that I like relate to as my having been my own experience. And I feel like that hopefully translates when I sing it.
Yeah.
That would be the goal. So
I love that. So Charlotte, you know, not necessarily known as a music town, but again, I see you as being one of our consistent, you know, torchbearers in the musical community. So what are some challenges that you personally have faced in your career, and how have you overcome them, you know, in a town where, you know, we may not always get the recognition that we deserve as singer-songwriters and musicians?
Yeah. I think some of the challenge has been for me just connecting with people that are in the music industry. That if I'm, because like my goal has always been to grow and, you know, do it as much as I can within reason, and which I've done. But yeah, sometimes connecting with people that are more in the industry is a little bit tougher because there's just not as many people here.
It's true.
So they don't have as much time for you,
right?
Or it's time for me because I'm not as, you know. They're just, I mean, if you go to Nashville and hang out at a bar, like you'll talk to someone who probably works as a talent buyer or, you know, everyone's doing something. But I have been lucky enough to meet some of those people, like Taylor Winchester, somebody that he was in the band and still plays. But like he also works professionally in the music business in different areas, honestly. But you know, and that's one thing I'll say that's really cool about Charlotte is, yeah, there's not as many people, but everyone kind of knows everyone.
It's true.
If you're in the music scene. And so, yeah, like eventually I met Taylor and then I met Micah, who's who does Midwood Entertainment. And
Micah Davidson,
Micah Davidson. Fantastic. And like the guys from Codex and just, you know, different. It just kind of starts like spreading out. But I would say that's like, you know, still, I mean, there's now Rick's doing the Confluence thing. I know he was on here. So that's like another element of people like him trying to bring in more music folks that can help from that side. Cause I feel like the biggest challenge for no matter where you're at in your like journey is continuing to grow and, you know, do more what you want to do. And you know what I mean? So I think people like Rick are really important. And there hasn't been as many of those people in the past necessarily. So
yeah, it's exciting to see elements like that come back into Charlotte. Let's see, when I first moved to Charlotte, like in the late 90s, you know, we had like, you know, several big concerts, you know, outdoor concerts that would have major bands and local bands be a part of. Obviously a lot more independent listening rooms, venues to play at, but you know, it's kind of, you know, receded, but now to have Confluence and like Music Everywhere kind of regenerate those same elements, I think it's been really awesome. And I think I want to say that again, I just love that you've been so prolific and consistent and your musical integrity has maintained, you know, for the past 10 plus years as what you do. And so hats off to that because, you know, I know a lot of musicians who, you know, have to end up playing in the wedding band or playing cover band or, and you seem to be really consistent with staying in your original music lane and being successful in that. So tell us about that. You know, what was your, you know, what's your approach to that and booking yourself and being consistent to what you want to perform?
I mean, I think it's in the way that you approach it, in the way the places you kind of go after where you're trying to perform. I mean, I definitely sort of do a blend of like venues and working gigs, but I like just, I look at it as like, I'm going to play, like I have music that I've, like a set of music that I've created that I can play for a number of hours, right?
Right.
And like, I don't really get into the conversation of, I try not to get into the conversation of like, what exactly am I going to play? Like, I just say like, here's my music. Here's what it sounds like. If you think I'm a good fit,
right?
I'd love to perform here. And I think that's really key. I think that like specifically to my music, I'm not like high energy or like super upbeat. Like I am, the music can be upbeat and can be high energy, but like sometimes that those are like words that you hear people saying that are booking things sometimes. Yeah. And I learned just, okay, that's not for me. That's not the place that I should pursue. It's going to be like kind of a frustrating experience for me and the person who's hiring me.
Right.
So I think the really important thing is, and my like a big part of my strategy is just like connecting with the places that are looking for what I do. Cause there's
yes.
all those places out there.
Right.
And, you know, I will say like being a singer songwriter and having a string band, those are like kind of flexible in the kinds of spaces you can play.
It's brilliant though.
So
it's a brilliant approach.
That helps.
Yeah.
But so I think, yeah, when you're creating your sound and you're working on that, you can, that's something you can think about is how does this translate in a small space? How does this translate on a big stage? Like, what do I do? What are the things I can do to like kind of be able to do all of those things and be really busy? Cause like, if you're an independent musician and you know this, like you're like, I respect you so much, just the amount of things that you do and like the way the quality and everything is like, you're such a good performer and player and you're just like crushing it. And, but yeah, like you have to kind of be ready to do, you have to be able and flexible and again, just like finding those places that are like, yeah, man, I really dig what you do. And like, cause when the people are saying that are paying you, like
yes.
that's a good feeling. That's the goal.
That's so
like,
the goal.
It's that not like, I've definitely been at places where I can just tell they're just like, man, this is not what I want. And I'm like, that's fine. Just don't, let's not do this again.
Right. This is get it over with.
No hard feelings.
Right. Move it
like,
on.
It's fine.
Right. Well, man, yeah. This has been a great conversation. We have just a couple minutes left before we get into our live performance segment. But so do you have any words of wisdom for maybe any aspiring young folk singer-songwriters or indie rockers who might be tuning in and listening to our interview today?
Words of wisdom?
Yeah.
Just keep going.
Yeah.
Just keep going.
Right.
That's really it. Like the longer you do something, the better you'll be at it. And hopefully you're like, having fun at it. I think that's if you're miserable, maybe right. Don't keep going.
That's right. See, Ian, you know, talking about my career, you know, my hands are in a lot of pots.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, cover music is one. But as you know, I say this to everybody yeah. is if everyone wants to hear Brown Eyed Girl, I love playing yeah. Brown Eyed yeah. Girl. If no one wants to hear it, I hate playing it. So
yeah, I mean,
I can relate to that.
Yeah,
it's about that connection with folks.
I will say for me too, like I'm super happy to do it. Like,
yeah.
I love it. And, mm-hmm. and there's, whether it's like the best gig in the world or the worst gig in the world, ultimately I'm still just like, this is awesome.
Right.
So yeah.
So what, last question here, what impact do you hope that your music has on listeners?
Ooh. I hope it just helps them engage in their own lives in a way that yeah. is positive. You
yeah.
know, I mean, that's it. And maybe, yeah. maybe they feel a connection to something
yeah.
bigger than themselves, whatever that is, you know?
Right. And listening to your music myself, there's no doubt in my mind that you've made that impact on a person or lots of people out there.
Thanks, man.
So thanks, Jeremy, for coming in and,
yeah.
and sharing your gift with us, and look forward to hearing some music from you here in just right a moment. On. Welcome back to Local Music Somewhere. I'm here with Alonzo Wesley. We're going to have Alonzo play some songs for us. But before we go into that, we have some super speed questions we want to ask you about your music, Jeremy.
Go for it.
Question number one. Tell us about your favorite performance to date.
Well, this was years ago, but opening for Shovels and Rope.
Oh, fantastic. Where was that?
Visualite.
At the Visualite yeah. Theater.
Wow. They played Dave Letterman for the first time, like right after, like pretty shortly after that. So that was pretty cool.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
Question number two, your dream venue. Where is it?
Probably somewhere on the Mediterranean. I don't know yet. I haven't found it yet. I think it's out there.
I got to say, I saw you're playing Baldhead Island coming up a lot this summer. Have you played there yet?
Not yet.
Oh man, it is is a great spot.
Yeah, I'm looking forward.
It's a pain to get there, but once you're there, it's one of my favorite beach going experiences of North Carolina. So
I just played at Beach Mountain. That was really cool.
Yeah, so, love that.
Yeah.
All right. Question number three: would you rather have an amazing vocal range or be able to play every instrument?
I would say vocal range.
Really?
Yeah. I love singing, even though like I always wish I was a better singer, and but I love it, and I'm one of those people like if you live with me, you're like I hate you because you never stop singing. You're always singing in the middle of the night.
I could totally hear. Imagine you singing like Mariah Carey level.
Yeah. No, stuff. Like yeah, I definitely would. I would go with that.
That's great.
Yeah.
All right. One more question here. Would you rather sign a 6-album record deal or be a music influencer with millions of followers on social media?
Easily influencer.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, in this day and age, like, that's where the money's at.
It's true. I mean, record deals these days are not the deals of the past. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, thank you for taking time to answer those questions. Yeah. And let's get into some live music with Alonzo Wesley.
All right. Yeah, this is a song called Rule of Seven. I think I'm mostly into.
Have I done the damage? Damage is done, my friend. Scars that we make are the scars that we live with. 7 reasons keep the wheels straight and go home. 700 more turn around, go home. Alright, good night. Alright, good night. Julie, she's so worried, says she's lonely all the time. Spent 7 years in a prison of her own device. 17 left home alone, 700 miles to the Carolina coast, but it's alright, good night, alright, good night, alright, good night, my friend. Spend my life driving while other people sleep through the night. Something about the moon checkering through the pine. Seen 7 serpents call each one by name. Seen 700 angels on the morning train. But it's alright, good night. Alright, good night. My friend. We could be anywhere. 700 more, we'll know when we get there. But it's alright, good night. Alright, good night. Alright, good night, my friend.
Fantastic, fantastic.
All right.
Tune because you care. That's good.
All right, yeah, this is an unreleased song, so.
Oh, look, Arby's exclusive. I love it.
That's one that I've been working on called Ohio Nights.
Pittsburgh Steel.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Alonzo Wesley, for coming in the studio today to perform and to talk with us about his music, a.k.a. Jeremy Davis. Thank you, Jeremy, for being here. And
thank you.
Look forward to seeing you out on the road.
Cheers, man.
Always remember, with you, we are. Our Beats podcasting crew wants to take this moment to thank you for listening to Our Beats Radio and Media Streaming Network.